ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 4, Chapter 31, Narada instructs the Prachetas, and text 21, please repeat. Na bhajati kumanishinam sa ijjam harir adhanatma dhana priyo rasagya श्रुतधनकुलकर्मणामदैर्ये विदधति पापमकिञ्चनेषु सत्सु। न भजति कुमनीषिणां सैज्ञां हरिरधनात्मधनप्रियो रसज्ञ धनश्रुतधनकुलकर्मणामदैर्ये विदधति पापमकिञ्चनेषु सत्सु। न भजति कुमनिषिणां स इज्जां हरिरधनात्मधनप्रियो रसज्ञ श्रुतधनकुलकर्मणामदैर्ये विदधति पापमकिञ्चनेषु सत्सु। न भजति कुमनीषिणां सैज्ञां हरिरधनात्मधनप्रियो रसज्ञ श्रुतधर्मकर्मणामदैर्ये विदधति पापमकिञ्चनेषु सत्सु। न भजति कुमनीषिणां सैज्ञां हरिरधनात्मधनप्रियो रसज्ञ श्रुतधर्मकुलकर्मणामधैर्ये विदधति पापकिञ्चनेषु सत्सु। न भजति कुमनीषिणां सैज्ञां हरिरधनात्मधनप्रियो रसज्ञ सुतधनकुलकर्मणां मदैर्ये विदधते पापकिञ्चनेषु सत् माताजी न भजते कुमनीषिणां स इज्जाम् हरिर्धनात्मधनप्रियो रसज्ञ श्रुतधर्मकुलकर्मणां मदैर्ये विदधति पापमकिञ्चनेषु सत्
वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग न नेवर भजति एक्सेप्ट कुमनीषिणां ऑफ पर्सन्स विथ अ डर्टी हार्ट सह ही इज्जाम ऑफरिंग हरिः द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड अधन टू दोज हू हैव नो मटेरियल पजेशंस आत्मधन simply dependent on the Lord, Priyah, who is dear, Rasagya, who accepts the essence of life, Shuta, education, Dhana, wealth, Kula, aristocracy, Karmanam, and the fruitive activities, Madiyah, by pride, ये ऑल दोज हु विदधति परफॉर्म पापम डिसग्रेस अकिंचनेशु विदाउट मटेरियल पजेशंस सत्सु अंटू द डिवोटीज ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी शिलप्रभुपाद की ट्रांसलेशन The Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions but are fully happy in possessing the devotional service of the Lord. Indeed, the Lord relishes the devotional activities of such devotees. Those who are puffed up with material education, wealth, aristocracy, and fruitive activities are very proud of possessing material things and they often deride the devotees. Even if such people offer Lord worship, the Lord never accepts them. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is dependent on His pure devotees. He does not even accept offerings of those who are not devotees. A pure devotee is one who feels he does not possess anything material. A devotee is always happy in possessing devotional service of the Lord. Devotees may sometimes appear materially poor, but because they are spiritually advanced and enriched, they are most dear to Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such devotees are free from attachment to family, society, friendship, children, and so on. They abandon affection for all these material possessions and are always happy and possessing the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. The Supreme Personality of Godhead understands the position of His devotees. If a person derides a pure devotee, he is never recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, the Supreme Lord never excuses one who offends a pure devotee. There are many examples of this in history. A great mystic yogi Durvas Muni offended a great devotee Ambarish Maharaj. The great sage Durvas was to be chastised by the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord. Even though the great mystic directly approached Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was never excused. Those on the path of liberation should be very careful not to offend pure devotees. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrijatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha Namo Vishnu Pada Krishna Prishtavya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Parshata Deshatarane Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी ऋषभानो सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय वांछा कल्पा तरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्णा So first of all, I would like to seek blessings of all the devotees. In fact, this is very exalted shloka. And as the shloka tells that Lord accepts any offering or is rather eager to accept any offering from devotees, but doesn't take anything from non-devotee. So certainly I feel this will not be accepted by the Lord, but only if you bless, then it is possible. Such a wonderful shloka is given. So I seek blessings of all devotees so that I can say something as a service for my purification. And whatever good comes out, it is only because whatever I heard from my superiors, from the books of Srila Prabhupada, that you will be getting. And whatever mistakes will be there, please forgive me, because those are because of my own deficiency in Krishna consciousness. So here, as Prabhupada is telling, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes very dear to those devotees who have no material possession but are fully happy in possessing the devotional service of the Lord. Indeed, the Lord relishes devotional activity of such devotees. Those who are puffed up with material education, wealth, aristocracy and fruitive activities are very proud of possessing material things, and they often deride of the devotees. Even if such people offer the Lord worship, the Lord never accepts them. So here, this principle is very clearly told. Like every individual wants to invest his energy in something to become successful. And even we see businessmen also, a lot of research goes into first to find a right market and right product. So even if it takes a lot of time, they don't mind for it. Because once we know where is the right market and which is the right product, then if we invest in it, what will just be the outcome is pure profit. That's all will happen. So any investment an individual does, he has to first know where I should invest my energy. And here in this shloka, it is very, very clearly told that Lord, even if somebody may be very rich, very aristocratic, very great scholar, and whatever he wants to offer to Lord, Lord will never accept it. But rather a simple devotee, he makes a simple offering. It's not that Lord is accepting it, rather Lord wants it. Like yesterday, Mukundat Prabhu very beautifully was narrating towards the end that how Lord Krishna, when he is playing as a pastime of small Gopal, he is dancing at the tune of all the gopis. They are chastising him and making him dance, and he is just becoming afraid and dancing. It's quite amazing, you know, such a lord. And he is so eager to reciprocate that love. So there in the Bhagavatam it is explained, the same lord who is apta kamaha or atma rama, one who is self-satisfied and doesn't want anything, he becomes tanya kama. He is desirous of the mother's milk. And when Mother Yashoda was churning this yogurt, and she was completely absorbed in singing the glories of Krishna, and he was taking rest, he woke up, he came, and he stopped the churning rod. Very much he wanted mother's milk in that time. And Mother Yashoda was amazed to see that he is such a small child. And how he got such an intelligence that where he should catch hold of. That he is exactly catching the rod so that the work will stop. And then still she was again continuing. Sometimes mother do like that to see whether child is really wanting, or you know, he wants to just create disturbance. So it is explained that he caught hold of mother's hand and he climbed on mother's lap. And he only started sucking the milk. Means without endeavor of Mother Yashoda, he was so eager to reciprocate that love. So Lord, who is so, I mean to say, self-satisfied, but he wants that, let me reciprocate that devotional or love with the devotees. On contrary, a person who is not having those devotional disposition or becomes proud of any possession, the Lord doesn't like this. So one in Kerala, there is one very famous temple, very huge temple also, Guru Vayur. You know, this, there is Lord Krishna's temple only, and the deity was gifted to Guru and Vayu, that is Brihaspati and Vayu. The Lord's deity was gifted, and then that deity was installed and the temple was built and the worship was going on. So in the same place there was one Brahmana, very very scholarly Brahmana, who was staying there, and a great logician. His name was Bhatta Hari. And while he was staying there, one of his relatives contracted a very deadly disease. And he thought, I know the scriptures, I know the mantras, I will remove that disease. So what he did, he, by some mantras, he took that disease on his body so that his relative's disease will go. And that happened. But then later on, when he tried to remove the disease, it was not going from his body. So he became very much worried. So he went to this place, that place, so many people he went, and then disease was not going. Finally, he went to some of their pujaris and some devotees. He asked, what should I do? So these were the devotees. They said, went to one of the sage, in fact, and not sage, one of the devotee he went, and he asked that devotee, what should I do for this? He said, start enjoying from fish and the disease will go. And this Brahmana was disgusted. He said, what is this? Start enjoying from fish? So he came to other devotees and he said, what kind of this devotee is? You know, I went to remove the disease. I asked what should be the thing, and he's telling, start enjoying from fish. So the devotees, they laughed and they said, actually, you didn't understand the purport of that. He is telling that start discussing the glories of the fish incarnation of the Lord. From there, all dashavatars you start discussing. Unless and until you relish and you submerge your mind in discussing the glories of the Lord, it starts from fish incarnation, the disease won't go. So he was amazed to hear that purport. And then he said, but I'm a logician, how can I discuss the glories of the Lord and this dashavatar? He said, no. You just simply, because it is that devotee's desire, you just do it. Krishna will empower you. Don't worry. So he's a little hesitant, but he thought there is no other way. And then he started composing. And sure enough, as he started composing, so many inspirations were coming to him and the pastimes were getting revealed to him. In fact, wherever he will find confusion that how this pastime took place or exactly how Lord appeared, just like Lord Narasimha, how he appeared through filler and how he was looking like, then Lord appeared in front of him and showed how he appeared from the pillar, and he started composing. And even Lord Krishna's pastimes, various pastimes, Krishna used to appear and show those pastimes to him. And then he composed a very big literature, poetic literature called Narayanim. And that became very famous in that area. Now also, they recite this Narayanim, just like, you know, in front of Lord Jagannath, what is recited is Gita Govinda. Similarly, in front of Guru Ayur, Lord Guru Ayur, this Narayanim is recited. And it was so beautifully discussing all the pastimes of the Lord that everyone was amazed and charmed by it. So it became a culture practically that anyone who comes to the darshan of Guru Ayur, first he will recite this Narayanim and then he will go and take darshan of Guru Ayur. And after some time it was like, this is the first thing. As soon as you enter the temple, but sit, either you hear Narayanim or you recite Narayanim and then you go and take darshan of Guru Ayur. Like that. But what happened is, because of this, this Bhattahari, he became little proud. Started thinking that this is done by me. And without this, nobody is qualified to go and take darshan of Guru Ayur. So that time, one of the villager, his from this same area, his name was Panduram. He came and he had composed one nice, beautiful song glorifying the Lord. But that was in Malayalam. Jai Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Bhagwan ki jai, Krishna Balram ji ki jai, Gaur Nitai ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So that was in Malayalam, the local language. And he came and he was knowing the Bhattahari. So he said, kindly, if you can read this, edit my book. So he saw towards him and he was looking a poor Brahmana. He said, in which language you have written this? He said, I have written in Malayalam so that everyone can understand and all. He said, no. Malayalam, such a language. I don't want to see that. I don't see anything other than Sanskrit. Only if it is written in Sanskrit, then you can ask and I may see. Otherwise, I will not. So he said like this, and then it was like this devotee was feeling hurt and he left immediately. Thought then my composition is useless. He went like that. So after that, this person, he was just sitting once and reciting. What happened is, one, he saw a small boy. He just came and he just directly went and started taking darshan. And here this Bhattahari was already in reciting, and there were so many visitors who already had come and they were hearing this Narayanim. But then in front of them, just crossing both, he went and took darshan and was going back also. This Bhattahari became very angry. And immediately he shouted at that boy. He said, what do you see? You know, you are so arrogant. Don't you understand what is the culture here? How can you think yourself be qualified to directly go and take darshan of the Lord? First of all, you have to hear from me this Narayanim. Then you will become qualified. And then you can take darshan of the Lord. So this boy, he just replied. He said, anyone who can directly see the Lord and witness Lord's pastime, he doesn't have to hear this Narayanim. And moreover, why one should hear such a book which is full of so many mistakes? Why should one hear that? And this Bhattahari first time was little amazed how what he is saying. And that is the time he said, what do you say? Is it really? So he said, yes, see the first shloka itself. Like we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he purified Kesho Kashmiri. In the same way. So he just recited the first shloka and pointed out 5 mistakes of that. And then he recited second shloka. He pointed out 10 mistakes. Then third shloka, 15 mistakes. And now this Bhattahari was becoming very, very embarrassed in the whole assembly. Then he understood, you know. And then his ego was thoroughly purified. And then he understood he's not an ordinary person. You know, he's the Supreme Lord himself. Then he fell at his feet and then he said, please forgive me, what should I do? He said, see, a great devotee had already come. You know, Panduram. And who has given this composition. So what you have to do is, first of all, you search for him. Go, fall at his feet, take dust of his feet. Then only you will be forgiven. And then this blemish from you will go. And from next day onwards, the same what he has composed, that also should be recited in front of the Lord. Then your recitation will be accepted by the Lord. So he saw that time, during immediately that disease had come on him because of this offense. So immediately he went, searched for that devotee. Then he fell at his feet, took the dust, applied on his body. And then he begged forgiveness. And then from that day onwards, First, the composition of Panduram, that is recited in front of the Lord. Then Narayanam is recited. So here also, this is very clear that in fact, whatever is given by the Lord for a devotee is actually just to facilitate his service towards the devotee, service towards the Lord. That's all. But if one takes it and becomes proud, then Lord will not be happy to accept such an offering that way. Just like here, this Bhattahari, initially he didn't have any qualification. But what was his qualification? He simply tried to follow the instructions which were given by the devotees. And he was empowered that way. And that's what we see in the life often, that many things we feel I will not be able to do. But the point is, we simply just strive or make an endeavor to perform because the devotees want it. Miraculous things happen. Prabhupada disciple Shyam Sundar, His Grace Shyam Sundar Puri, often says, he says that we were just, when we were with Prabhupada, we were experiencing the magic of Krishna consciousness. That wonderful things were happening. We never imagined that, we can arrange such a big pandal program in Bombay. It's a foreign place, and raise such a funds and then do such a miraculous thing, or meet George Harrison and then such a preaching can take place in London. He said it was just a miracle. We were just simply trying to do what Prabhupada said. And that's what miracle happens. But on contrary, this is also experience that when a person, he tries to do on his own what he wants to do, and especially it's not in line with what gurus, they say, then whatever a person does, somehow or other, someplace some hurdle comes and things don't move. Or if things move, after some time they fall apart. And then we see what's happening, the same, all endeavor is put, all energy is put, everything is done, but what is lacking? And even though it appears that this is going to be, my plan was perfect and I felt that everything will happen, everything was in cooperation, and still something happened and it collapsed. Because ultimately, the whole world is run or governed by the Supreme Lord. And He knows how it is going to run. It's not any particular formula which is designed by a human being or his stout intellect or his years of experience can define that. Because if Krishna wants, things will happen. And if Krishna doesn't want, things will not happen. And for a practicing sadhaka, what Krishna wants is very difficult to understand. So if he simply follows the words of the superiors, the spiritual master and Prabhupada, then things will manifest. And Prabhupada also, he showed through his life these things, and then his life and teachings completely were filled with those aspects only. That he simply just tried to, of course we know through Shastra that Prabhupada is a person who was prophesized already by Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda Prabhu, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, that he'll come and spread Krishna consciousness all throughout the world. But the way Prabhupada exhibited that through his life was through completely following the instruction of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then such a miraculous thing happened. I was just reading this book of His Holiness Mukunda Maharaj, Miracles on 22nd Avenue. So very amazingly, then Mukund Maharaj, he tells the initial days when Prabhupada was preaching and how much struggle was there. We hear that in Leelamrita also, but here in some more details it is given. So there Mukund Maharaj says that those days we were coming and we were very new, very crude. We are not knowing, what Swamiji wants to give. Now we appreciate. He said, we just came. He said, I came because there he was singing Hare Krishna mantra and I was a musician. So I accompanied that and I was there. So he said, what philosophy he spoke, I also didn't understood much. But then he said that when I went to Bavari, he said, it was such a place. It was like, he said, as soon as you enter into Bavari, two smells will be very, very strong. Smell of wine or beer and urine. Because all those hippies there, they will be completely drunk and then they will urinate there only. So it was such a strong smell. So very difficult to enter into that place. And they were lying here and there. and it was very dingy, dark. He said, and then Prabhupada, from there he shifted and he went to one of the loft. He was there. So I had come for that place looking, and it was such a place. And as soon as I approached, I saw all hippies lying, and then a strong smell coming. And then there was a staircase. There was no light at all. Upstairs, Prabhupada was there. And then as soon as I was climbing, both the smell was coming, and I was feeling, is this the place that Swamiji is there, you know? And he said, as I was climbing the stairs up, then gradually I started hearing the sound of Kartal. And then I was confident, yes, he is here. So I mean to say, if you see the contrast of what Prabhupada was, what culture Prabhupada was brought in, you know, he was Bengali. Today also, when most of the part of India, the culture is already vanishing, but Bengal still has culture, you know. And that is the time he is coming from traditional Gaudiya Vaishnava family. He is born, brought up and raised in that family, and then he is a sannyasi there. And now he is coming in such a place and he is staying. It was difficult to comprehend. And the Kartal sound was coming, and as soon as he said, I came, and then I came to the loft, and the whole atmosphere was different. Now there was nice incense, the fragrance of incense was there, devotees sitting and nice kirtan was going on. That was a divine atmosphere, he said. And I reached there, then I heard, then he said, always I was having this doubt that why this Swamiji has come here. So once I asked him that, Swamiji, why at this age of 70 you have come here? And he said, he simply answered that my spiritual master wanted me to go and preach in West. Therefore, to fulfill his instruction, I have come here. And then Mukunda Maharaj writes there, he says, I was just amazed. I said, how come a person is giving his whole life to follow somebody's instruction? Because he didn't know what is the concept of spiritual master also. He said, for one person saying something, one person is giving his whole life in such a hardship, in such an area. It was difficult for him to comprehend. So somehow he was telling that, you know, I was not able to understand the philosophy what Prabhupada is giving. But then Prabhupada gave a Bhagavatam set. He sold it to me, and then I took that and I took it in the home. And he said, when I was reading it, because Prabhupada's accent was quite heavy in Bengali, so it was difficult for them to understand. So he said, when I was going through the purports, everything was just revealing to me. And I was understanding what is the depth of Krishna conscious philosophy. And especially, he said, when I was on the first chapter of first canto, text 8, the shloka is, Vethatvam saumya tatsarvam tatvas tat anugrahat bruhu snigdasya shishasya guruvo guhyam apyutaha. So the translation goes, where the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shaunak Rishi, he is telling to Suta Goswami, Vetattam Saumya Tat Sarvam. Please, now you discuss or describe to us, Saumya, that who you are very pure. Vetattam Saumya Tat Sarvam. Tattvas Tad Anugrahad. What the absolute truth you have imbibed, or because of the mercy of the sages. Why? Because he says, Bruhyu Snigdhasya Shishasya. Because you are very submissive, therefore Guruvo Guhyam Apyutaha. The spiritual masters have become very pleased with you, and they have bestowed the mercy upon you. And because of that, now you are fit to discuss the glories of the Lord. So please kindly narrate that. And Mukunda Maharaj says, when I was reading that, and the purport specifically says that by pleasing the spiritual master, there will be all success in the spiritual life. That is a secret of the success. And if one displeases the spiritual master, there will be havoc in his spiritual life. And he said, when I read that, I understood this person is not just speaking in Bhagavatam. His whole life is about submission to his guru and pleasing his guru. And he said, that is the time I developed appreciation for Prabhupada, and I felt I should surrender to this person. He is not just speaking, but he has undergone such hardships, and the realizations he is writing there. So He said, still, there was so much struggle, you know, we were not able to understand, appreciate. He goes on to discuss then, but still in those situations, Prabhupada is preaching. So he said that even after that, there was initiation ceremony, we got initiated. And then after one or two days of initiation, I had already a plan that I want to go to India. Two times already I have made a plan and then plan, you know, got spoiled. But this time I was very sure. He said, I and my wife, both of us, we have made a plan. And then we thought we'll tell Swamiji. So he went. Just imagine, Prabhupada has come to preach in West and he has so many dreams and plans, and those who are just got initiated, Prabhupada wants their assistance to really spread the movement. And then he is coming and telling Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I have decided I want to go to India. You are from India, please tell me, you know, I want to go to Delhi if you know somebody so that I can go and stay and he can tell me where to go and what to do. It's like, what Prabhupada can say? He has already said anything. His whole plan is said. Prabhupada was just listening. But then Prabhupada, he was so accommodative, at the same time so compassionate, said that Prabhupada very patiently heard. And then he said, yes, yes, I have some acquaintance in Delhi. So when you go, you meet such and such person, then he'll help you out to see what's there in the India and all these things. And before that, Prabhupada already spoken about Krishna consciousness, everything. So Mukund Maharaj says that we were so new, we were not able to understand the value of spiritual master. And he said, but after that, while I was going out of the room, that time Prabhupada just, when I was on the door, Prabhupada just said that actually, it will be nice if you can help me preaching in the West Coast. And I just turned back and I saw towards Prabhupada and I thought, not I, because I'm already going. How can I? And after all, this is the third time my plan will be spoiled. So he just thought and then he just walked. And then because he had told Prabhupada that first my plan is that I want to go to Oregon. There my wife and both stay from that place. We'll meet our friends and one of my friend is coming. I will meet with him and after that we'll come to the San Francisco and from there we board the flight and we'll go to India. And Prabhupada wanted to preach in San Francisco like that. So therefore Prabhupada said, but then he thought, I just in few days I'm here, how can I assist Prabhupada like that? And just imagine from Prabhupada's viewpoint, he's gone means he's gone. You know, whether we'll come back and then whether what will happen. So there was complete uncertainty. So then Mukund Maharaj says that he had gone to Oregon and then he met with his friend. So those were Shyamasundar Prabhu and Malati Mataji. And then they were in their, what we say, enthusiasm, they were telling, actually when we were in New York, we met one Swamiji, he's a very wonderful person. And then he came from India, he gave us the nice philosophy. Then there was a discussion, till late night the discussion was going on. And then both of them were excited, they said, we want to meet that Swamiji. He said, yes, you know, you can go and meet. Anyway, he's planning to come to San Francisco. So you can go to, because they were also planning to go to San Francisco. And there you can invite Swamiji. Said, and my plan is I'm going to India. Then he said, like Shyamasundar Prabhu said, why don't you stay in San Francisco? You also stay. And we'll invite Swamiji together. He said, no. He said, that is not possible. He said, two times I wanted to go to India. Now I want to, I'm desperately wanting to go to India. He said, what's there? He said, there is great fun in going to India. He said, then is there no fun in preaching? Or, you know, the Shyamasundar Prabhu is telling, is there no fun in inviting Swamiji and then helping him there? So his mind was really, you know, reeling. And then he came back, he was thinking, he was looking towards his ticket, what should I do, what should I do that way. And then he was discussing with Janaki Mataji that what should we do. And then she was also telling, no, I think we should stay and we should help some. So finally he decided what, and then finally he thought, no, better I stay back. And I will invite Swamiji here and then, you know, we'll assist in the preaching. That's how he immediately then went to San Francisco and then he invited Prabhupada. So this was a scenario. In that scenario, Mukund Maharaj says that Prabhupada was preaching. So much hardship, so much struggle was there. But then because he was really wanting that, let me try to please my spiritual master. Through that, my service will be acceptable. So this is what the secret is. I mean to say, like Arjuna also, he says the same thing. When he sees that he is defeated by the infidels, he was amazed that how come I am the same person where great warriors like Bhishma, he came in front of me. He couldn't stand. Karna couldn't stand. Duryodhan, Dronacharya, all these warriors, I defeated them. But then here, infidels, they are coming. They didn't have proper weapons. I was defeated. And then he reflects on the teachings of Lord Krishna and he remembers. And he says, Tadvai dhanush tad ishava saratho hayaste. I have the same Gandiva. Tadvai dhanush sa ishavah. Same horses and chariot I have. Saratho hayaste. Soham rathi. I am the same person, wielder of Gandiva. But how come within no time everything is just, you know, what we say, become powerless? Then he says, it is as if the fire is ignited to the ash. Nothing is going to happen. And we put a ghee. Nothing will happen. So he says, it's only one thing is missing. The Lord is missing here. And there Prabhupada writes that actually Krishna empowered Arjuna because it was required. And now, for going back to Godhead, that empowerment was not required. Arjuna would have gone back like that also. But to perform the service, that empowerment was required. And then it was not required. Krishna withdrew that power. And now Arjuna was without any power. And Arjuna realized that actually, I didn't did the whole thing. The battle was not fought by me. It was fought by Krishna. But I just became an instrument. Nimitta matra bhava savya sachi. So, in the pursuit of one's life, when he wants to offer some service to Guru, to Srila Prabhupada and all the parampara, he understands that when he aligns himself with the instructions of Prabhupada and all the acharyas, then naturally what is going to happen, even if things appear opposing, things appear impractical, that they will not happen, but they will happen. Because ultimately, who puts the all things together at one place? That is Krishna. He puts all things at right place. And then miracles happen in person's life. And then he experiences those miracles. So that's what it is. And then Krishna very happily accepts such a person's service. And he not only accepts that, he offers the blessings. So finally, just same one of the episode comes where same thing, such a great scholar in Chaitanya Charitamrita like Devananda Pandit, it is spoken about him that he was from he was a Brahmana from his childhood. He was completely non-envious. He was very gentle, very polite. He was full of all virtues, very pious. He has not even spoken on any other literature than Srimad Bhagavatam from his childhood. And he was a very great scholar. That was this Devanand Pandit. And he was staying in one place. This is called as, means one of the devotees, Visharad Maheshwar, he was staying next to him at the bank of Ganges where the dam was there. But the point is, he was not a devotee. All his commentaries were not having a tinge of devotion. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, once he wanted to go to meet Visharad Maheshwar and he saw the house of Devanand Pandit and their Bhagavatam recitation was going on, and he became very angry and he started shouting. He said, what this person thinks of himself? He thinks himself as a great scholar. He doesn't have a tinge of devotion. He doesn't understand Bhagavatam from beginning, middle and end. Only discusses about pure devotional service and nothing else. Sukhdev Goswami, he has churned the yogurt and gave the cream as Srimad Bhagavatam. But this person doesn't understand anything. I want to go and tear the Bhagavatam. He started running towards him. Like that, all devotees stopped him. So this is Lord Chaitanya. He's behaving in such a way towards Devanand Pandit. And then all devotees, Devanand Pandit also heard, but he didn't understood. Because he was not a devotee, he couldn't appreciate the behavior of Lord Chaitanya. And then matter went like that. But afterwards, one of the very great devotee, Vakreshwar Pandit, he happened to came to that place. And he stayed in the house of Devanand Pandit. So now Lord Chaitanya, who's Supreme Personality of Godhead, very merciful incarnation, but Devanand Pandit, even though he is reciting from childhood Bhagavatam, is not able to understand him. But when Vakreshwar Pandit Prabhu came and he stayed, then seeing the devotion of Vakreshwar Pandit Prabhu, his heart melted. Devanand Pandit started thinking, what is devotion, what devotion means, how sweet it is. And he developed appreciation for Vakreshwar Pandit. And in that appreciation, he started serving Vakreshwar Pandit. And in fact, when Vakreshwar Pandit used to dance, we know that he's a very great dancer. You know, 72 hours together he will dance. And he will guard him, make circle around, and then so that devotees will not come in, so that he can dance nicely. Whenever Vakreshwar Pandit will fall, he will catch him and then, you know, remove the dust from his body. Like that he was doing. And just by that service, Lord Chaitanya became very pleased. So same Devanand Pandit, when Srivas Thakur went to hear the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, this Devanand Pandit, means when Srivas Thakur in his ecstasy, he was exhibiting that ecstasy, hearing this Srimad Bhagavatam only, but the students of Devanand Pandit saw it as a nuisance. And they threw him out. And Devanand Pandit also didn't saw, you know, anything wrong in that. He was quiet. And therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very angry with him. And here, now, his heart is transformed in such a way that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, came back to Kuliagram, and that time he was showing his mercy to everyone, forgiving offenses of everyone, that time Vakreshwar Pandit came, and then Devanand Pandit then fell at the feet of Lord Chaitanya. And he said, "My dear Lord, please forgive me." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he has served Vakreshwar Pandit, then he forgave him. And Devanand Pandit was telling, "My dear Lord, I am such a fool, I don't understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. Please tell me, you know, how I can understand this Srimad Bhagavatam." And that is the time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said that actually Srimad Bhagavatam discusses nothing but only pure devotional service. And when we serve the devotees, then only the import of Srimad Bhagavatam is realized. It's the essence of Shastra and Krishna is realized in no other way. He said, only in four ways Krishna is realized or very easily accessible. He is accessible in the form of Tulsi, in the form of Ganges, in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, and in the form of devotees. He is so easily accessible in these four forms that we don't have to install Krishna also. Just like the deity has to be installed. And there are so many mantras and mudras and all things have to be done. But this form, Krishna is very easily accessible and he accepts the service. So, if we devote ourselves to devotional service, to the service of devotee, then you will be able to recite and give the Bhagavatam. So this way, Devanand Pandit was so proud. But just by getting the blessings of Vakreshwar Pandit and serving Vakreshwar Pandit, the devotion aroused within his heart. And that's what we see. The life of Prabhupada is completely surrendered to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then we see such a glorious thing happen when the whole world or even his disciples, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples, were telling that it is not possible to spread Krishna consciousness. But Prabhupada had that innocent faith. No. Whatever it may be, my spiritual master wants it. Even if, because when he went to New York, Prabhupada writes that 2-3 times he was coming back towards the same dockyard to see the ship, when the ship is going to go back. Because things were so tough, things were not happening only. But then Prabhupada, every time when he saw that and he was telling still, "I will not go, better I will die here, but I will not go back." Why? Because Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, my spiritual master, wants it. So actually, Krishna, when he sees that one is having that devotional disposition to serve him or his associates, then he accepts the devotional service. And then he can do the same miracle through anyone, you know. So a devotee understands this, as here Narada is instructing to Prachetas, that this is where one has to invest his energy. If he invests his energy in just trying to fulfill the instructions of Prabhupada and his representatives, then miracles will happen from one's life, and one's life will become some worth which can be offerable to Krishna. Otherwise, whatever is done, we find some obstacle comes, something turns around, and the whole life goes and one doesn't realize what's happening, why things are not working in my life like that. So of course, this is what I just wanted to discuss, but I could understand from this shloka. And I beg blessings of all the devotees that I can just try to, these were beyond my realizations, but whatever I heard from my superiors, I just try to share with all of you, so that I can also invest my energy in this direction, just trying to please Prabhupada and trying to follow the instructions so that the service will be someday acceptable by the lordships. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.